listening to The Bobby Hill Report on Anchor. Liberty, we'll defend. Happy Monday, friends, and thanks for returning for another podcast. I'm Bobby Hill. Today's Monday, November 16, 2020. And, weekend's over. We gotta do a little post-weekend update. As y'all know, if you've been listening, I am an Ohio State Buckeye fan. And unfortunately, the Buckeye-Maryland game was canceled due to COVID, allegedly. The virus has run rampant through the Terrapin football program. Personally, I think they just didn't want to get their butts kicked on Saturday, and simultaneously reducing Ohio State's chances of getting in to the college football playoff due to the fact that they're only playing so many games this season anyway. So they're not going to reschedule. Because of COVID. Another thing that the virus has ruined for me, and probably a lot of other people. But just makes the weekend that less exciting. But at least there's The Mandalorian. I'm a huge fan of Mandalorian. I love watching that on the Disney app. Last week turned into a busy and eventful one for me, so therefore I was unable to put together any podcasts after Tuesday, which we had our friend Tripp on, and he's going to be with us again tomorrow. Corona. Before I get into the political stuff, market-wise, we're looking pretty good in the Dow S&P, probably due to Moderna. The pharmaceutical company Moderna has come out and said its vaccine is 94.5% effective in preventing COVID-19. So, I guess to me, that's okay. I mean, it's not great. I don't know if the market is reacting positively because of that. I mean, it looks like the NASDAQ is in the red, is down right now. So maybe, I don't know. What's the deal? I guess we'll find out. I'll find out throughout the day. Politics-wise, we've got states like, you know, Ohio and Michigan. They're fixing to shut it down completely again. And, you know, I've got friends, I mean, I'm from Ohio, so I've got friends up there, and they're posting on Facebook, oh, we're canceling our Friendsgiving and our Thanksgiving celebration, you know. I'm like, why? You know, what? Who knows? Maybe this may be your last Thanksgiving for whatever reason, whether it be a virus or a war, you know. And they're like, well, we would feel bad if somebody came to our house and spread this COVID and then somebody else gets sick and dies. Like, I understand the way you're feeling, but you're being manipulated, you're being controlled, and you're afraid for no good reason when the survival rate of this thing is higher than that of the flu. So maybe not cancel your celebrations, but and I know this is maybe sound harsh, but if there are people who are sick and who are more susceptible to catching this thing and getting severely ill, maybe take them a plate. You know, take them a plate after. I mean, if you're sick normally, you're not going to go to a family function to spread something, right? But, and you don't cancel it for that. So I don't see how this is any different. So, you know, like, we cannot change our lives just for this thing. It's bad enough they got us wanting to wear masks, going into stores, and some people wearing goggles and gloves and suits, you know. I mean, it's just, it's out of control. The fear is out of control. And we'll be back after this short ad break. Quick, I want to say that I'm not so convinced that the election situation is done yet. Indicators are the Georgia race has yet to be called. Trump is fighting the vote count in multiple states still, and Drudge is still attacking Trump as though they're afraid he might win. And, personally, I mean, I don't really know. Between, you know, Michigan and Pennsylvania, Georgia, I think these are, Pennsylvania, those are the only states he's gonna need, I think it's, let's see here, he got North Carolina. Michigan's still blue, Pennsylvania's still blue, and Georgia is almost totally blue. So as of right now, Biden has won. But I think that the globalists, the deep state, they're still fighting hard. The media is still, you know, attacking, you know, the right or the MAGA, the Trumpers, whatever you want to call them. The mainstream media still treats this election like it is totally over. You know, they're not respecting the game at all. And I'd like to hear some opinions from people about the next couple months. You know, what do you see happening between now and the 20th of January? Could this election debacle be a cover for something bigger? Maybe for this, what they're calling dark winter? As I've heard Biden use that term multiple times. Could this be related to the 2001 Operation Dark Winter? A simulated bioterror attack utilizing airborne smallpox, a highly contagious, fast-spreading, and relatively untreatable disease. Because it is, it's untreatable unless you can catch it within the first 4 days, and then you could probably at least help control it with the vaccine. Now, I've had the smallpox vaccine, which is interesting considering, from what I've read in articles, the producers of the vaccine quit producing it, unless it's just like a really like small amount that they're keeping around for military personnel and DOD. But yeah, I've had it. I've had it in the last 13 years. The vaccine, not the smallpox, but yeah, they don't vaccinate for it because apparently it's been eradicated. But I want to talk about this Operation Dark Winter, which was at, like I said, a simulated bioterror attack war game, I guess you could call it, conducted by Johns Hopkins. Let me see here. Yes, by Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. The overview is the Dark Winter Exercise, held at Andrews Air Force Base in Washington, D.C., June 22 to 23, 2001, portrayed a fictional scenario depicting a covert smallpox attack on U.S. citizens. The scenario is set in three successive National Security Council meetings, so that take the place over a period of 14 days. Former senior government officials played roles of NSC members responding to the evolving epidemic. Representatives from the media were among the observers of these mock NSC meetings and played journalists during these scenarios press conferences. And it, you know, names all the people that were involved in it. And it's really creepy stuff, which, you know, I get it. This is about national security and stuff, but at the same time, as you know, governments cannot be fully trusted 100%. And their findings from this exercise was one, and I'll just read through them real quick. An attack on the United States with biological weapons could threaten vital national security interests, massive civilian casualties, breakdown in essential institutions, violation of democratic processes, civil disorder, loss of confidence in government, and reduced U.S. strategic flexibility abroad are among the ways a biological attack might compromise U.S. security. Well, this right here is, I mean, we're in the middle of a very, more like a calm pandemic, and we're experiencing this, all of it, not mass civilian casualties, because a lot of the COVID deaths are actually like deaths from other things. We know that, it's been proven. But breakdown in essential institutions, violation of democratic processes. Now that's been going on anyway, I mean, but it's definitely worse now, don't you think? Like, with Biden allegedly the highest voted president in the history of the United States. I mean, the guy's sick. He can't run a country. And yet, somehow, he gets all these votes. So I would say the democratic process has been violated. Civil disorder. Lots of that going on since March. Well, what, April? Of course, that's due to another situation of police violence and whatnot. But loss of confidence in government, reduced strategic flexibility. I mean, yeah, that's also going on. But I'd say that if we're considering this to be a potential bioterror attack by the Chinese, which it can't be, unless this is just phase one, and that's another discussion. But then it talks about all the other BS, like there's no surge capability in the U.S. healthcare and public health systems or in pharmaceutical and vaccine industries. This institutionally limited surge capacity could result in hospitals being overwhelmed and becoming inoperable. I don't know. The whole dark winter thing actually makes this pandemic more like a test. That's how it feels. It doesn't feel real. It feels like dark winter, but the whole country is being played, used as a testing ground for something that either is coming or may come. I want to say real quick that I remember hearing about this exercise, not back in 2001 when it took place, but probably within, you know, like 10 years ago, the last 10 years. And it was creepy. And things like these exercises actually, like I said, we need to, you know, for national security purposes, be prepared for situations like this. And but at the same time, you know, when government does these tests and such, and they publish them, which is good, when they publish the findings, it's good, but it's also bad, because the people that see it, they know we're not prepared for whatever's coming. So it's a double-edged sword. But, you know, when I first heard about it, I'm like, man, this is definitely, you know, some unsettling information. But it's what we do with this knowledge. Now, somebody had written an article this year talking about it. Like, you know, they probably, just like the person who brought it to me, they Google Dark Winter and then this thing pops up. But why in the hell would the state, the president-elect, continue to use the term Dark Winter if there wasn't like a deeper meaning? All you have to say is it's gonna be a potentially bad winter for COVID. What is dark winter? That is what the globalists do. They use terms like that to scare the crap out of people, and that's what they want. They want you to be scared. But you know, these are the kinds of things that we need to be paying attention to. I'm thankful to the person who brought this to my attention, because you know, months ago, I started to believe that the COVID was a test for a potentially bigger attack. And now it's not something that I consider and prove and say, oh yeah, no, this is coming. But when they talk about, you know, things like Dark Winter, and then you go and you find the old, you know, articles about Operation Dark Winter, and oh well, it just happens to be about bioterrorism, and we're almost 20 years next June will be 20 years since that operation was conducted. So, you know, even if you think that I'm just trying to, I don't know, like, I don't want to scare people, and I don't think you should be scared, but I think people should be concerned and aware. That's it, because anything can happen at any time anyway. But you can't just sit there and say, oh, this is going to happen, without being able to prove it. I'm just giving my opinion, folks. My opinion, and also I have, you know, facts. But, you know, that's the thing about using your brain, is connecting dots and figuring out information for yourself. You know, I know these people who sit there and they'll, you know, in the morning or in the evening or both, they'll watch the news, they'll say, oh, I wonder what's going on, or what happened yesterday, or what's going to happen today. And they trust in these news outlets like, you know, like it's their family or something. But they'll also say things like, well, I don't trust the news. And then they'll be like, did you see what happened on the news? Like, and that's what's happening with the virus, with the corona. You know, everybody's getting their information from these mainstream media sources, and it's, they're not talking about this. Maybe they have, I don't know. It's hard for me to watch the news sometimes. day. I can't remember where I was. I think I was watching one of the mainstream media networks. The Talking Heads were on, and you know, of course, they're going on about how Trump should not do a full pullout of Afghanistan immediately. It shouldn't be done by the time Biden takes over. He said it needs to be done. Basically, all the same crap that they said years ago, back when Obama was talking about bringing the troops back. Oh, we need to do this slowly. We can't just leave Afghanistan because the Afghan government needs to have a deal with the Taliban. They need peace. Like, you know, you people, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Because we could have been out over the years, because there's not going to be a peace agreement until we're gone. That's the fact. And we can't keep letting our guys and girls die over there so that they can try to bring peace. It's not going to happen. Afghanistan, it's not a peaceful place, I guess, until we leave. And they don't want peace. You know, these talking heads, they work for the globalists, they work for the elite, the military-industrial complex. You know that, I know that. And so, yeah, that's why, you know, but I have to turn it on, because sometimes it's interesting stuff to talk about. And it has to be talked about, I guess, to make the case against these idiots, which they do a pretty good job of that themselves. But yeah, I think maybe I should talk about that more. You know, just turn on the TV. Because you could turn on the TV and watch the news and be like, bam, BS. You know, and because that's all they do is talk about BS. But yeah, we need to bring the troops home. We need to end these wars in Afghanistan. And Iraq is still kind of going on, but you don't get the media coverage of it. Ready for some peace time again. And since I've been alive, there has been, aside from like clandestine operations, there was a short period of peace. There were probably a few years in there where the U.S. wasn't involved in open conventional or conventional warfare. And I'd like to see the kids now not be concerned with fighting wars that our previous generations have gotten us into. So, okay, I think I covered enough for today. Tonight I'm gonna record with Trip again, and he said he's got a lot to say. So tomorrow it's probably gonna be another hour long episode with Trip Pugh. Again, he's right now, his only thing he's doing is the Friday Night Super Show with the Dab Comedy Network. And with that, I want to thank everybody for listening again. And, you know, like I said, there's like seven different platforms you can listen on: Apple, Google, Overcast, right here on anchor.fm. They don't have an app yet to listen on, so you'd have to go through the through your web browser, but you can leave messages on there, and you know, if it's something good, I might play it. You can get me at the Bobby Hill Report at outlook.com. you can also hit me up at Bobby Reports on Twitter and Facebook, the Bobby Hill Report. Just search it and you should find the group or the page or whatever. And yeah, I want to thank all the new listeners, the people that are helping me spread the show. I'm writing some satire articles now for can't think of the name of the website right now. Dang it. But I'm going to write that down and mention them tomorrow. Anyway, thanks again, and I hope y'all come back for another podcast. Take care.